part two of lesson one, because I don't want to lose anything. And when we get to lesson two, I will tell you that we are now starting on lesson two. In lesson one, we began by showing that we wish to introduce the person of the Holy Spirit by saying several strong factors. Number one, that our sole source of information will be the Bible. We will not go outside the Bible for information on the Holy Spirit of God. We won't do that. And then we had begun to say that in this great truth, that the Holy Spirit is like Jesus. Jesus loved the whole world. He didn't love a part of the world. He didn't love high or low, or near or far. God loved the total world and gave his Son for the total world. The Son loved the total world and gave his life for the total world. The Holy Spirit likewise has no preferences on the face of this earth. And he has no preferences of denomination. And that's difficult for some people. They have a feeling that their private denomination, that God loves it a little better than he does someone else. What they don't realize, God don't even know the name of your denomination. He only knows the names of those that are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And all of those that are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb are in the same denomination. They're in the body of Christ. But we wish to stress very strong the universality of the Holy Spirit. That wherever you go in the world, he will be the same. And for all the folks in the little primitive huts made of mud, he will walk right in there and do everything he will in the magnificent cathedral. He will go wherever he's welcomed. And we're going to teach you all the different things about him, where he can be made happy and he can be made grieved and so forth, because we're going to talk on personality. All the things that have to do with personality, we're going to deal with them. But first, we're going to talk about the fact that he belongs to everybody. In John 2 and 24, it says, "Now God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." And so God is not for anyone personally, but for everyone collectively, that those that will worship him in spirit. And spirit there is with a capital S. That wants them to worship him in spirit and in truth. All right. And then we come to know that God is a light in 1 John 1 and 5. And then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. And then in Deuteronomy 4 and 24, "For the Lord is thy God, and he is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." And then we find in 1 John 4, 16, "And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us." God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Races were created by men because of sin at the Tower of Babel. Genesis 11 and 9, "Therefore is the name called Babel, because Jehovah did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth." I believe that the same night he changed all the languages was the same night that all the races were made. He just wanted them to get away from each other, because every imagination of their hearts were wicked. And he knew they would run from each other if each of them thought the other one wasn't pretty. And if each one of them couldn't speak the other's language, he would be able to separate them. Sin is the big separator. Amen. It is the big separator. Every separation on the face of this earth has to do with sin. You know, it is the separator of the human race. And God is the one that brings us together. When we come together in love, when we come together in peace, when we come together in him, we come together strong. Can you say amen? All right, your point number four, 1 Corinthians 2 and 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." To me, that was a very thrilling scripture. And this third person of the divine Trinity wanted to do something for us. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but we have received the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Therefore, the third person of the divine Trinity, the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, is preparing the triumphant church of the Lord Jesus Christ to celebrate the ceremonies inaugurating the installation and the coronation of the King of Kings. I believe with all my heart that you're going to hear it all over the nation. People are going to start talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. We're going to release something here that's going to cause all the ministers around the country. You're going to, in the next 6 months, they'll all be talking in their various ways on television and so forth about it. And I believe it's time for us to get acquainted with him, to get acquainted with the Holy Ghost, for us to know him personally. And I want you to be good soil for the planting of this truth, that it will grow within you, and that you will reach out to take this truth on to others. We want to be ready for anything God wants to do. In your teaching syllabus, we are moving at this point into what is called Lesson 2 on page 9. And there again, we are now beginning to speak of the person of the Holy Spirit. You might write this down right below that. There are at least 160 listed actions of the Holy Spirit in the Old and the New Testament. For there to be so much evidence of him, what a pity it is that we haven't penetrated him in a greater measure than we have. It was our own Lord Jesus Christ who said, when he is come. I don't think he was mixing up truth there. When he is come, it was the divine revelation that called him the Spirit of Truth. That he is the Spirit of Truth. That is a remarkable designation for him. What if someone were to say to me, you are the Spirit of Truth? I wouldn't accept it, of course, because it wouldn't be true. But it is true of him that he is the Spirit of Truth. Now, you could take just that one truth and start moving into it, and God only knows where you would go. That you won't find truth except the Holy Spirit is there. I mean real truth, eternal truth, spiritual truth. That you won't come into bona fide truth if you don't move into that thing by the power of the Holy Ghost. And so we will be studying the personhood of the Holy Spirit, and that when he is come, he, that divine revelator, that he is the Spirit of Truth to us. In John chapter 16, you might make a further note there, 13 times in this chapter, Jesus is spoken of as a person. To me, that, as I was counting them through there, I was amazed that in this one chapter, 13 times, the Holy Ghost was addressed as a person, not an it, you know, but a person. Let's read some of it. In John 16 and 7, it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. Now, that was the Lord Jesus Christ talking to his own disciples. It's expedient for you. That means it's necessary. I could only be in one place at one time. It is necessary that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter. Now, we're going to deal with him as a comforter and see what it all means. The Comforter, which is with a capital C there, meaning a person. The Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, or if I leave, if I go away, I will send him. Say him. Amen. I will send him unto you. What we don't want anyone to think is that we're going to stretch the word. If the word isn't simple and easy, we're going to leave it alone. We are not going to try to stretch truth. I don't like stretched truth. Till you can not know whether to believe it or not, it has been stretched out of relationship to the rest of the revealed truth. The person of the Holy Spirit is not a truth stretched beyond its dimensions. The person of the Holy Spirit is a divine truth. One third of the Godhead and one third of the dispensations. And so we believe him that he will reveal himself to us. And we want it. We're waiting for it. Verse 8, That is the next verse from in John chapter 16. Jesus said, when he is come, speaking about the person of the Holy Ghost, when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. We're going to get stuck in there as we go along. What does it mean? What is it? What can we believe about it? What can we receive from it? He will reprove the world of sin. Now you see, if he is not acknowledged, and if he is not in his proper place, he can't do these things. He can only do these things when he's functioning in the position that God created him and that God made him that he teach in. We're going to show you in a lesson or two here how he emanated, or he came forth from the Father and the Son. And that's going to be very exciting when we get into it. In fact, I don't know of any aspect of the person of the Spirit that we're not going to deal with before we're through. And so I just want you to be patient. And I want you to love this thing. And above all, I want you maybe fast, for sure pray, and let us move into the dynamics of a truth that could change the world. How many like to be a world changer? Amen. Could change the world. The Lord Jesus said, now, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. He will rebuke sin in the world. And that he will reprove the world of righteousness. He will reprove the world of sin. He will reprove the world of righteousness. He will reprove the world of judgment. Three areas that he will function in on the face of this earth in order to bring in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In 1 John 5 and 6, it says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not only by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now, we want to deal with that subject somewhere in these teachings, that it is the Spirit that bears witness to the fact that Jesus came by water. You know what water is, don't you? Water is baptism, where you are immersed and you die, you are buried. And he told John he did this to perform all righteousness, and that he permitted this because he wanted to show you. If he hadn't been baptized, a lot of you wouldn't want to either. You'd say, well, Jesus didn't. Don't matter if he said do it. If he didn't do it, a lot of you wouldn't want to do it. But if he did it, and he was perfect, and he did it as a symbol for you, then you've got to do it. Amen. Yeah. And so he came by water. And then he came by blood. He showed you the way to go by being dead to the world. And then he went to the cross, and he died by blood. He went there for your salvation. And it says that the Spirit bears witness to this. Now, that's one of the things we want to study. What kind of witness did the Holy Spirit bring, and what does he bring today? It says, because the Spirit, with a capital S still, that he is truth. That he is truth. Verse 7, the next verse says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And we will be dealing with that in the subject of he came forth from the Father and the Son. But if the Bible says there are three, I don't believe there are two and a half. Are you here? Yeah. I don't believe that you have one that's just a force and a power that without any personality. He says there are three that bear record in heaven. And we want to study that. That record that is in heaven, and that we have a Father, and we have a Word, which is the Lord Jesus, and we have the Holy Ghost, and these three are one together. You say, what in the world does it mean that the three are one? If I live next door here, and I had an automobile for sale for $200, and you came over to my house, and you said, I want to buy that automobile, how much is it? And my son came to the door, he'd say $200. And if you went away and came back a few minutes later and you knocked on the door and said, you have an automobile for sale. Yes. But it was my wife that was at the door. And you'd say to her, how much you want for it? She'd say $200. Then you went away and you came back and I opened the door and you said, you have a car for sale? And I'd say, yeah. How much is it? $200. Well, we're one. You see? Now that's the way the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are one. They move together, they plan together, they flow together. And you know how kids, you know how kids will say, listen, let's talk to Mama and get something on Daddy. You don't do that in heaven. Yeah, there's no cheating there. And you can't get around the persons of the Godhead and get one of them to go against the other. They're one. And whatever one of them says, the other one says it. And so you can go to your mama and say, now, if you'll say this, Daddy, you'll have to agree with it. You can't do that in heaven. You can't say, now, listen, Father, if you'll help us, the Son will have to put up with us. No, he don't. They're one. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right. A study of the person of God the Holy Ghost, God the Holy Spirit, the third entity of the divine Trinity, is of tremendous importance in our living church upon the face of this earth today. Divine revelation wants the church to know some things. A, the Holy Spirit is not a blessing to receive. Now, let's be honest about it. In many instances, though, they will say, yes, I believe in the person of the Holy Spirit, that they only realize him as a blessing. Bless us, Holy Spirit, bless us, Holy Spirit. And they actually reduce from a personality to a blessing. That we must not be content with. We do have the fruit of the Spirit. We do have the gifts of the Spirit. We do have the blessings that flow on us. But he is more than a blessing. And we must start recognizing the person of the Holy Spirit in a stronger manner. If Jesus told us to, there's nothing wrong with doing it. If Jesus told us to do it, there's nothing wrong with doing it. So the Holy Spirit is not just a blessing to receive. The Holy Spirit is not just an experience that you can have. Yes, I have received the Holy Ghost. Yes, I have received many blessings of the Holy Ghost. He is more than an experience in our lives. Most of us have received the infilling of the glorious power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. We've received it. Some of us have received even the gifts given by the Holy Spirit. But we wish to deal with our subject of a person and not just an experience. We thank God for the experiences, but we want to know him better than we've ever known him before. The Holy Spirit is not a feeling to enjoy.
Amen.
You'd be amazed how many people live on feeling. Oh, I feel him, I feel him. No, wait a minute now. We want you to have more than feelings here. We want to go deeper than feelings. In the Lord Jesus, you don't have to go on feelings. You know he was born in Bethlehem. You know that he grew up in Nazareth. You know that he died on Calvary in Jerusalem. And you know that he rose from the dead out of that beautiful garden. We know him, you see. We're going to have to come to know the Holy Spirit likewise. And not with just a good feeling. Thank God for good feelings. But we want to know him, understand him. And I think it may be a little difficult. If it was easy, more people would already be into it. And we are going to knock down barriers. I mean, we're going to push and push till barriers fall down. And we all have an understanding of him that we have never had before in our lives. And let me say again, I am excited.
Yeah.
Glory be to God forever. You better believe it. The Holy Spirit is not just an influence, as many would have us to understand. The Holy Spirit is not neuter gender. The Holy Spirit is not a pronoun. He is a proper noun with a capital letter. And if you like, you can put all of the letters regarding him right in capitals if you want to. The Holy Spirit is not an impersonal pronoun. Rather, he is a person. He is a pronoun, he. And we want to know it and know it and know it. He is a comforter and you can feel him. He is a teacher and you can listen to him. He is a guide and you can follow him. In John chapter 15 and verse 26, you might want to make a special note or two here. In John 15 and 26, the Lord Jesus said, now when he is come, he shall not speak of himself. Now this is an attribute that we ought to give a lot of consideration to, and I hope that we will. And You can send up questions between lessons, between this night and our next lesson. You can write out questions if you wish on this subject. He shall not speak of himself. Well, that should be true of you and me. We are persons also. That the Holy Spirit will not come that he might project himself. He will come as a servant, and he will come to reveal, and he will even the things he has heard in the sanctuary in heaven, he will come and tell us about them. And so Jesus said in John 15 and 26, he shall not speak of himself. When we hold all these things in mind, we're going to see what kind of person he is. In John 16 and verse 13, it says, he shall glorify me. And so he will glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And also in verse 14, the next verse, it says that he shall testify of me. Now, I want to see that kind of thing, come to pass. That in our meetings, the Holy Ghost will rise up and testify of Jesus. Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready for it. And also we want him to glorify Jesus. To stand up before the world and to glorify the Son of God here on the face of this earth. When you look through the Word of God, he wasn't born, after Jesus went back to heaven. As we're going to be teaching you and showing you that in Genesis, he was there as a creator. And we're going to speak some on that. That's going to excite you very much in the next lesson or two. And that you're going to find him all through the Word of God. I've written a number of things down here that you're going to find him doing in the different books of the Bible. Various, very remarkable things. In John 6 and 63, it says that we are quickened. That is an old English word that means life. Quickened means that you're not still, you're not dead. The quickened, the dead, means that you're living. That we will be made alive, by the Spirit. As in John 6 and 63 and also 1 Peter 3 and 18. In the book of Revelation, in Revelation 11 and 11, you'll want to make a note that he is addressed as the Spirit of life. That the Spirit of life. I'd like to penetrate that too. I'm only showing you where we're headed for is all. And I hope that you will, until our next lesson, we'll just be diving into it. That's Revelation 11:11. That he is the Spirit of life. Now, it's with a capital S. Imagine a person being called the Spirit of life. That if there's life, it comes forth from the Spirit. In Zechariah 4 and 6, a very traditional verse of Scripture for most of us, it says, by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And then he says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And so, God the Father wasn't working on his own. He was working dual. And he said that by, this with a capital S there, by his, not by might, not by power, he performs activities on the face of the earth by this person called the Holy Spirit. We want to look into those things that he performs on the face of the earth by this person called the Holy Ghost. Romans 15 and 30, he is called the Holy Spirit that loves. And we're going to go into more of that. I'm only stirring up your pure minds at the moment. Anything that loves has personality, you see. And so he is a spirit that loves. I want you to know that because I don't want you to be afraid of him. I don't want anybody in any of my classes to ever let fear get anywhere close to you. Because I don't believe in fear. Fear belongs to the devil and the devil's gang. Let them have it. God's people are free from fear. Completely, absolutely. And God is not the author of fear. Sin and transgression are the authors of fear. And God is the author of love. And the Word of God says, where there's perfect love, there is no fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. And so, there's no fear in love. You cannot, any area in your life where there's fear, in that area, you do not have love. Or you do not have God So you better get that out so you can fill that spot with God and with love, and you won't have fear anymore. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. Don't fear death. Don't fear life. Don't fear the future. Don't fear anything. Don't fear your mother-in-law. She's all right. In Acts 9 and 31, we find again that the Holy Spirit is functioning in the area of comforter. It says that he comforts. So when we discuss these things and find these things, we are going to reveal among ourselves the distinct personality. I'm going to show you how to put together a personality in a lesson or two. You can put together a personality. You can tell almost how a person looks by the idiosyncrasies that follows them around, their instinct of doing things certain ways. You can exactly know what kind of person they are. We're going to know also what kind of person the Holy Spirit is, and it is going to be very, very exciting. Well, we didn't get too far into this lesson, but I promise you to begin right there. In our next lesson, I'll put a little mark there, because now we need to ask God to bless what we have said and thank Him that in this 30 minutes we didn't stay on home plate. We got over to first base. How many are going to shout when we hit a home run? Yeah, well, that's coming up.